Just sharing with you guys the importance of, you know, like the Bible says, hey, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's important to be coming together as believers. And there's some really cool things as the reasons why. One of the reasons is people, when they're using their spiritual gifts, it edifies other people. It encourages. It lifts up other people. And somebody being led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was telling him, "Hey, go ahead and I want you to write a note to the person in front of you." And to my knowledge, this person didn't know the person in front of them, but they just wrote just a little note what God had laid on their heart, like what the Holy Spirit was telling them to write. They just simply, you know, and shared what was on their heart. And they simply just, you know, handed the little note up to them, and then that person that got the note handed to came again and went to that person and said, "Hey, I just want you to know that note really encouraged me." And I'm not going to go into details, but if that person wouldn't have decided, you know, if they would have just sloughed it off like, "Oh, well, yeah, nah, that's just me. That's silly. I shouldn't write that, you know, whatever." If they wouldn't have been obedient and did what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do here at church. And of course, obviously, you can be, God, the Holy Spirit can lay things on your heart to do outside of church as well. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Holy Spirit's not just here. He's, you know, he's with us all week long. But us gathering together, there was an opportunity. The opportunity was there. And that person, using their spiritual gift of encouragement, just wrote a little encouraging thing. And it brought encouragement to somebody else. You guys, that's exciting. You know what excites me? Seeing an awesome smile on Charlene's face, who's had a doctor's diagnosis of a brain tumor. I see a smile and joy on Jim's face, who's had another diagnosis of cancer junk. A smile on their face. The joy of the Lord. No doubt. He's good. You see, and this goes right along with what we're talking about this morning. It's all in your vision. And we're going to be looking at the next several weeks. We're going to be looking at things like, you know, like how do we see things? And even like maybe, you know, we're even getting into maybe it has to do with, you know, within your organization or your work. Maybe it has to do with your ministry. But like you have a vision. You have this goal set before you of, man, this is what it's going to be in this. Yeah. But this morning, what we're going to be looking at first is what we need to see first in our life so we can be seeing properly. And it's Habakkuk 3, verse 17. That's where we're going to start. Habakkuk 3, verse 17, New King James, it says this: "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Now, you would say right now, my goodness, this is depressing. Especially for this time. Because when this was written, it was talking about all the things of life. And how you'd succeed and even live. And this verse right here, it's saying, hey, though, you know what? You got nothing. The next verse. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see, this is really cool because when we can get a vision of like what he's got here, where it's not a matter of, well, God, I love you conditionally. God, as long as there is food in the field, you know, as long as there's a harvest to take up, as long as there's livestock, you know, that I can maybe make some money, as long as, you know, God, there's fruit on the vine and there's food on my table at home. Yeah, okay, God, yeah, I'll praise you. What's being said right here is, no, I don't love God under condition. No, I love God regardless. I choose to say, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. These verses right here, it's saying, hey, you know what? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if my vision, my goal, you know, is to be, you know, on the football team and to be first string. This verse right here is saying, you know what? Even if I'm sitting the bench and I'm third string, even though I'm saying, man, yeah, I want to be first string. But you're sitting on the bench in third string. You're going, yeah, God, I praise you. God, I thank you. God, you're awesome. You're amazing. See, the only way that we're going to be able to do that, the only way that, you know, even though we've got this vision, we see, oh man, yeah, you know, I'm going to be, you know, I want to be first chair, you know, in the band. And yeah, man, I want to be playing my instrument and being that first chair. Oh, yeah. And even when you're not sitting first chair, you're going, God, I will praise you. You're the God of my salvation. See, the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we're seeing who God really is. If we base who God is on what his word tells us, because it's truth. It is not a lie. See, this is really incredible. Because Jesus, he's talking to some guys. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, New King James. It starts off here. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Okay, so Jesus, he had just recently showed up the Sadducees. And so now the Pharisees, they want to have their stab at Jesus. They want to, you know, they want to try to trap him up here. And then one of them, a lawyer. Oh, wow. So the professional, you know, one of the professionals in the group, you know, he's going to come out and he's going to say, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question. testing him and saying. Okay, so this lawyer, well, if he was a good lawyer, he knows how to argue. I'm sure he knows the right things to say. Or he should if he's a good one. And so he says this. Let's go to the next verse. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Teacher, why don't you tell us? What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's really interesting right here because Jesus, what he's telling them to do, he's saying, hey guys, yeah, you need to love the Lord not just with your heart. And not just with your mind, and not just with your soul, like your being. He's like, hey, you need to be loving him with all three parts. Not just, well, God, I love you and I'll show my love to you in my heart. Nobody else is going to know. It's cool. But, you know, in here, yeah, I'm loving you. It's not what Jesus is telling. It's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, hey, guys, I want you to a place where you're loving me unconditionally. You're loving me with every part of your being. He desires for us to be doing that and just be saying, hey, God, okay, you know what? I choose to love you regardless of any kind of outcome. God, I choose to love you. You know, this week it was cool because like I just getting an opportunity to, man, be put into practice things I'm preaching on. And, you know, the beginning of this week, like, you know, up to this point, and my son, you know, he graduated school last year, high school last year, and you know, he just said, Dad, no, don't want to go to college, I want to just do construction, you know, I'm good, you know, blah, blah, blah. And no. And then beginning of this week, Gina's talking with him, and he ends up saying, you know, well, I don't know, it would be kind of cool to go to school. That was all Dad needed to hear. Okay, yes, glory to God. So then I just start going to town, you know, with okay, God, I thank you. I don't care, regardless of the outcome. God, I'm going to praise you. And you know, the school, the particular school, you know, that we're looking at stuff, like the deadline for the deadline for getting your paperwork in and all that has already come and gone. Few weeks, and so it's just like, okay, God, I'm just going to praise you anyway. And just making some phone calls and stuff, you know, it's just like, well, hey, okay, well, just go ahead, get stuff in, blah, 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 and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And so, you know, been doing it on the way, and you know what? Still to this right now, like, he's not been officially accepted. But he and I, we're going down there, and we're just going to see, we're just going to believe that, man, we're going to watch and see God move. And God already has, like, there's already been some obstacles that was there that now have been removed, and like those obstacles aren't there, and but there's still some more, and you know, but praise God. I'm like, Tanner, it's going to be awesome, because we're going to praise him regardless. We're gonna just thank and praise God. We're gonna see him move and do a work. And you know what? I don't care if I come walking back here and stuff didn't happen the way I was envisioning it to happen. Whoa, praise God. I will stand up here. God is a good God, regardless of what happens. Why? That's what God desires. God desires from us to not be loving him conditionally. He desires from us to be loving him unconditionally, to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. So it doesn't matter what report comes our way, whether it be from a doctor or a lawyer or the bank, whatever. It doesn't matter what report comes our way. We will not be shaken. We will have joy in the God of our salvation.
Thank you, Jesus.
And see, as we're doing that, that's what Jesus, that's what he's telling us to do here. He's saying, hey, okay, yeah, I'll tell you what the greatest commandment is. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Man, if we're doing that, it erases questions. It erases doubts. And here's the thing. The only way that's going to happen is if we have our vision based, our vision of God, who we see that God is, based on his word. Because his word is truth. And what his word says he is, that's what he is. It doesn't matter what the circumstance says.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
What matters is what does his word say? So Jesus, he's telling these guys, he's like, hey, I'll tell you what. Okay, here's the deal. This is what the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then this is the first and great commandment. That's what Jesus said. This is the first one. This is the greatest. Get this figured out. Know what this is. Know what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then, next verse, and the second is like it. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, this one's really cool, because guess what that means? That means if you're to love your neighbor as yourself, that means you love yourself. You have to love who God created you to be. There are no accidents. He created you. He knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. You are special. Love yourself. So he said, you shall love your neighbor, not as you're supposed to. Love your neighbor as yourself. The only way that it's possible for you to love your neighbor is if you love yourself. That's what he said. you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The right way to be loving our neighbor is loving them like we love ourselves. So if we aren't loving ourselves, if we're not praising and thanking him for who he has made us to be, there's something that we need to take care of there. And I mean, this is what Jesus is saying. Not some great prophet. Not some guy that, you know, oh, well, this guy, he's got all the knowledge. He's really smart. Oh, it's Jesus. And then verse 40. On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. On these two things, hang everything on, man. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Are there going to be times where maybe we don't understand why something is? What we have to do is we have to just trust him that he is everything that he says that he is. And then in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, New King James says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That verse is saying whatever we're thinking in our heart, it's what we are. How we see God, that's what God is in our life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we see it where, man, you know what? Yes, I do. I love God unconditionally. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I was believing him for. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's food in the fridge or there's not food in the fridge. I'm going to choose to praise him. Because he is. And you fill in the blank with what you found him to be in here. That's how we can love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Do we see him as that? Do we see him as the joy of our salvation? Or do we just see him as some, you know, something out there that's good and you know, can't possibly ever, you know everything about him, so I'm not going to get to know anything at all. You don't have to know everything about a car to drive that car around. You don't go, nope, sorry, I'm not using this car. I'm going to walk everywhere because I don't know exactly how it works and how everything, what all happens in order for that thing to go. Now, some of us have more of an understanding of how a car works than others. But it really doesn't matter if you have a great knowledge of a car or not. As long as that thing starts, you'll use it. Do you have to know everything about it before you trust that that car is going to go? But yet sometimes people go, well, you know, gee, I mean, I trust God. But, you know, I mean, I don't know everything about him yet. And so, you know, maybe one day, you know, I'll get that relationship with him where, you know, we can go places together whenever I got it figured out. No. Just go, okay, yeah, man, it's like driving a car. Praise God. I'm just gonna trust that this thing is working. And boy, you know, if there is some issue that comes up, oh yeah, what do? We go to a manual, or we take it to a mechanic, you know, we do something to so that way it can get going. Are we trying to go places with him? Are we even attempting to go somewhere with him? Do we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? Joy. He's the joy of our salvation. That's a happy song. I saw people. Joy. He's the God of our salvation. How amazing do we see him? Do we see him as a God of miracles, or do we see him as, well, he was a God that once did miracles? Do we see him as a God that is our provider? Or do we see him as a God that, well, maybe sometimes he'll help out? See, I think sometimes we see him and his love for us. We see the love that he has for us, and we measure it by the love that we have for him. He wants us to believe that he is everything that he says that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do we love him? ourselves. Because see, if we're at that place where, man, God, I love you with all of me. God, I'm a three-part being, and I choose to love you with my heart, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And God, I choose to love myself so that way I can love my neighbor. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't have love for yourself, then how can you love your neighbor? See, as we get those things and we really focus on those. And the love for him grows stronger. The love for him with just thanking him for how he's created us. And for us to just love ourselves, then man, how much more focused are we going to be able to love others? As we get a hold of that, our vision will be much clearer. Who we are, what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do. It'll get real clear. And man, for some of us, it'll just get crystal clear that, man, he's created us to just be the absolute best salesman that we could possibly be. For others of us, you know, the vision just gets clear. Man, he has created me to just be the absolute best elementary teacher possible. The more clear that we get this, the more clear it gets that, man, God, you've created me just to be that loving mother that like is just raising up godly children. The vision gets clear, man, God, you've created me to be in full-time ministry. And boy, the vision just gets clear as far as like what that full-time ministry is. Whatever it is, man, the stronger that our love for God is, the stronger that our love for others is, the more clear our vision will be. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you and we praise you for your word.